Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to look over into the book of Matthew chapter 22. Amen. It talks about the great commandment here. And many times when we look at this, we think, well, the great commandment is, it's easy to think that the great commandment is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not the first and great commandment. And it goes along with what we were teaching up in Sunday school this morning to the teens up there. We need to have a zeal and a passion to serve the Lord. We need to have a zeal and a passion to have a relationship with Jesus. Because if you don't have a zeal and a passion for that, it's not just going to happen automatically. You have to have a zeal and a passion for the things you do in life. I know I've shared this thought here with you before, but when I went to nursing school 20 years ago, some of the first days of class, they were talking to us, and they said, now listen here, and you're going to see how this ties into our spiritual walk too. They said, now listen here, if you're going to make it for nursing school, they didn't use the word zeal. They might have used the word excitement, but it's the same thing. You have to have a zeal and a passion for this nursing thing, because if you don't, you're not going to make it through nursing school, because it gets hard as time goes on. It gets difficult. And if you don't have that zeal and passion, and they said that passion is you want this nursing degree that you're going to get more than you want anything else in life. Now you can see how we can tie that spiritually to this with our service to God and having that relationship with Him. We need to have a zeal and a passion for it. We need to have an excitement about it. You need to have an excitement about the time when it's time to go to church and gather in God's house in God's name. You need to have a passion, meaning that you want God more than anything else that you want in your life. I'm not saying, and God's not saying, you can't have other things in your life. God wants us to enjoy life, but our number one focus needs to be God in our life, and that's what we're going to share with you here this morning. You need to have that zeal. You need to have that excitement and that passion to serve the Lord. Amen. You want Him more than you want anything else. David said in one of his Psalms, as the deer, he said the heart, but as the deer pants after the water brooks, O God, so my soul thirsts and hungers after you. How much do you want God today? How much do you want God today? If we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a position where we're just going through the motions. And it's not just the motions at church that I'm talking about. It could be just the motions at home. Well, I know I should read my Bible or listen to Scripture, so I'm going to, you know, make myself do that every day. I know that I should pray, so I'm going to find some time, you know, to fit in there a few minutes anyways with God every day. And because, we begin to look at it as a duty. We don't want to look at this as a duty. We want to look at it as the passion, as the thing that we want most in our life. In any job that you have in this life, and nursing was the one that I referred to, if you just get to the place where you're going through the motions, you turn into a nurse that's not that good of a nurse. You're not that pleasant of a nurse to be around. And all of us have dealt with people in the medical profession. Some of them aren't pleasant to be around. Why is that? Because they're just going through the motions. They have the knowledge. They know what they're doing, but they're just going through the motions of it. They don't have an excitement about it. They don't have a passion for it, and they don't have a zeal for it. And it's the same way spiritually. We all know those Christians that are just there. They're sort of miserable. They're not really happy. They're okay. They know the routine. They know what they need to do, and they're just going through the motions of it, and it makes for a miserable person. Amen. And in our life, it's the same way. If we're just going through the motions of serving God, it makes us a miserable person. In the daily responsibilities that you have in your home, the ladies have different responsibilities than the men, but the men have their responsibilities too. And if we just go through the motions of it because it's expected of me and I need to do this and this is what the expectation is and I have to do it and there's no excitement about it, it gets pretty tough to go through those things. But if we have a zeal and a passion for what we're doing, you have a zeal and a passion to take your rightful place in the home and to do what it is that God wants you to do, you're going to be able to do it with a smile on your face because you really want it. But in our service to God, the first and great commandment is this. So in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, then we're going to be looking at some other scriptures over in Psalms 37. We're going to be going. And so Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, Lord, I pray that you will help us today as we expound upon the words that you shared so many years ago, God, that it's a reality for us today, that it will get down into our hearts just like you wanted it to get in. into the hearts of those that you spoke to so many years ago, God. Stir our hearts today. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. And you can read the rest of the story above if you want to. But Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. First things first. Many times in life, people will do things and they try to do the second step first or the third step first. It's first things first. You have to do it in order. You got to get this in order in your service and your love to God. And the first and the great commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You got to get that down first before you can move on to the second one where you love your neighbor as yourself. Some people are trying to love their neighbor as themselves, but yet they don't have that communion with the Lord like they're supposed to have, so then they find difficulty in loving their neighbor as themselves. You got to get first things first. And so here this morning, I believe that I'm speaking to all of us as being believers, but we need to make sure that we have this down, that you are really loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. You have a zeal and a passion to serve God. It's not like, oh no, it's Sunday night and they do that prayer thing at 5:30 and that's really a bother. I don't know why they do that, and why can't they cut the service on Sunday night? There's so many other churches around the country and even in our own community. I don't think there's any that meet on Sunday night. They just don't do it. And why do we have to be such old fuddy-duddies and continue to do this kind of thing? We need to have a zeal and a passion for serving the Lord. We need to want God more than we want anything else. It doesn't mean that we can't do other things. Amen. God, like I said a moment ago, God wants us to enjoy life, and he makes things available for us to do that are good and wholesome. But our first passion, amen, this is the first and the great commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I look forward to Sundays because it's a day that we set aside. We go, we have Sunday school, we have morning worship, we hear preaching, we come Sunday night. We just set that day aside for God. It rejuvenates me. It refires me. It helps me take a different outlook on life, because sometimes by the time the end of the week gets here, depending on what you face that week, you're not feeling so good come Sunday morning. You're feeling defeated at times. You're feeling like you didn't accomplish anything in the week. And it's like, wow, what's going on? But I believe that if we make God our passion in our zeal in life, and we serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, we're going to go through this life happy. Now we're going over to Psalms chapter 37. It's one of the psalms that David wrote, and it's a famous one. A lot of his psalms are very famous. They're referred to often. In Psalms chapter 37, we're going to look this morning. But God, what he does, God loves and desires to have a relationship with man. God loves and desires to have that relationship with man. But if God's going to have a relationship with us, we have to have that relationship with him. I can't fill myself up with everything else that's going on in this world, although it may not be sinful things. But if I get filled up with all of those things, there's going to be no time for God. We only have so much time in a day. We only have so much space in our hearts. And the greatest thing that you can do for God is to love him with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind. That's the greatest thing you can do for God. There's people that will try to do great things for God. You know, I'm going to win this nation for God. I'm going to win this family for God. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. Jesus told us to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do that for God. I'm going to go out and I'm going to witness, and souls are going to come into the kingdom of God. Surely that has to be the greatest thing that I can do for God. Amen. But you're mistaken, because the greatest thing that anybody can do for God is personally to love him with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind, and have that close relationship with him. That's the first and great commandment. That's what God desires. Yes, those other things I mentioned are important. God wants us to do that. But we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest and the most important commandment. Amen. Get that down. It's not to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second commandment. But it's to love God. Make sure you're having that relationship with God like we're supposed to. to love God. Amen. To love God. It's your greatest duty. It's to love God. The love we show God is more important than other people and things in our lives. The love that you show God is more important than the love that you show for your children. It's more important than the love that you show for your spouse or your extended family or for even others in the world. Amen. The love that we have for God, it's the most important thing. God is our first love. And so if God is our first love, and He should be our first love, how do we show God that we love Him? How does He know that we love Him? Amen. This is a fact. It's not always easy to love an invisible God. We can't see God. It's not always easy to love an invisible God. It's easier for us to love your wife or your husband or your children or things that you see and things that you can touch. It's naturally easier to do that. Amen. But by faith, we love this invisible God. God knows it's not always going to be easy for us. And at times, when we're praying to God, it's more difficult. Amen. It's more difficult than finding a person to give us advice. You're in a situation, you know, down at the church, we always say, well, take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah, but I like to talk to somebody that I can see. But if we have that love for God, we're going to take things to God. So I understand that it's difficult, amen, to take the things to the Lord in prayer, a God that you can't see, and as the world would say, is just an imaginary God. But He's not imaginary. He's real. He's alive. He's sitting on the throne. That song that we just sung a little bit, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got this whole thing under control. Amen. But it's difficult, amen, to pray to a God that we can't see. It's easier for us to go to a person to give us advice. Hey, tell me what I should do. You come and ask me what you should do. And if I give you advice, you know, if you ask me what you should do, you know what my answer is probably going to be already. Amen. Before you even come and ask me what you should do, I'm going to say to you, what do you think you should do? And if we're wise, we're going to do that to other people. And it's not just a pastor that people will come to and say, hey, I want some advice. What do you think I ought to do in this situation? I'm giving you some advice right here this morning. When anybody comes to you for advice and says, what do you think I should do? Your response should always be, what do you think you should do? And that gets people thinking, because people pretty much already know what they should do. And then you can set your conversation off from that point and build on that. Because if you're so quick to say to somebody, they want advice, and you say, well, I'll tell you, if I were you, this is what I would do. It's dangerous to go down that road, because if they go down that road, that advice that you gave them, and it doesn't work for them, guess who they're not going to be happy with? They're not going to be happy with you. So ask people, what do you think you should do, and build off of that. Jesus said that God should be our first love. God should be our first love. He deserves most of our time and effort and energy. He came and He gave His life. He died for you. He died for me. So therefore, we owe that to Him. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I owe that to Him. Amen. I owe God that, my time and my effort and my energy. God deserves more attention from us than anything else in our lives. What's getting most of your attention today? I can tell you what's getting most of your attention and my attention today. The things that are pressing us. That's human nature. That's what we do. But the Word of God talks about that. We have to be careful. Amen. Because we can get so taken up with everything that's pressing us without meaning to do it. We're squeezing God out of our life. And then that day of the Lord is going to come to us unawares. We're not going to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because we slipped up and we got taken up with the things of life. And so make sure that God's getting the most attention in your life than anything else in your life personally. You have control over that. God, You're the one that matters in my life. And what you care about the most is where you spend your time daily. What'd you spend all your time doing this week? Now, that's true in a sense, that statement that I just read to you there. That's true in a sense, because some of us spend more time at our work than we do anything else, and we don't necessarily enjoy our work, right, Brother Aaron? You don't have to answer that. Amen. So that doesn't mean, amen, that doesn't mean, but what you care about most, that's where we spend most of our time and our effort. Other than those things that we're obligated to do, what do you do with your time? Do you like to sit down? Do you like to just snack all the time? Do you like to sit down and watch, I was going to say VCRs, that's almost a thing of the past now, DVDs or get on YouTube, and you know, you're just all consumed with that stuff all the time, and every time you sit down, you find yourself going on Facebook and flipping through there looking for I don't know what. You know, what do you consume your time with? Amen, but that's what you care about the most. To put God first, we have to choose Him daily and choose to commit to Him. We have to do that. God, I'm going to follow you today. And you might have to talk to yourself that way when you get up in the morning. God, I'm going to follow you today. I commit myself to you today. Psalms 37:5 says this, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen. And He shall bring it to pass. You have to commit yourself to the Lord daily. Amen. It says, amen, to not lift up the behaviors of the unrighteous into evildoers. And it goes on there, and it says in verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Amen. We're not to lift up the behaviors of the unrighteous into evildoers, to think, well, they're not serving God and they seem to be doing so good. They seem to be prospering. Instead, what we are to do is follow them. Amen. Instead of following them, we're to follow God. We're to take delight in Him. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let the unrighteous and the ungodly do what they do. It might look like they're prospering. It might look like they're happy. But I know that I have true happiness because I have God in my life. And if we do it that way, amen, the Word of God tells us that He will fulfill our heart's desires. Amen. Trust also in Him. Verse 5, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your ways unto the Lord. God, I commit my ways unto you. This one's not doing right. They're doing evil. We know that they're not a righteous person, but it looks like they're prospering. It looks like they don't have any needs. Life seems to be going so good for them. God, in so many words, is saying, don't worry about it. Commit your ways unto God. Trust in Him. He is going to bring it to pass for you. God won't fail you. God won't let you down. Amen. And verse 6 tells us our righteousness will be as light. It will be visible for all to see. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Amen. So if we stay faithful and true to God, it's going to be seen. It says your righteousness will be as a light. It will be visible for all to see. They'll know that you're a righteous person. They'll know that you're doing right. And in verse 7, we're going to read that. I already read it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. David here is showing a difference between evildoers and the righteous. He says that at times evildoers prosper in their ways, and the righteous man, it seems like he's not prospering. Man, I'm serving God. I'm going to church. I'm having a relationship with Jesus. I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving my offerings. I'm making my prayers unto Him, and I pray for the other saints, and I'm going out and trying to encourage other people and make their world better that they live in. But it seems like this man that has no time for God is doing so much better. David said that's going to happen. Amen. That's going to happen because trusting in the Lord brings a better result than what you're seeing in people that don't trust the Lord. But we're living in the here and now. They seem to be faring so much better. They just seem to have whatever it is that they want. They don't lack for anything. And here I am struggling. But David is saying it's okay to trust in the Lord because it brings better results. In that same chapter in verse 20, it says this, it backs that up. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. And so what he's telling us here, the wicked man may prosper, but it's going to consume away. He's not going to have anything to show, we'll say, for everything that he should have. And those who trust in the Lord will not be cast away because God is their helper. It's better to trust in the Lord. In the scripture, it tells us, I've never seen, amen, his seed forsaken, the righteous begging for bread. God supplies and he takes care of us, but we need to put God first in our life. In verse 40 of that chapter, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. The Lord will help us. He will deliver us from the wicked because we trust in him, because we serve him, because we're serving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all of our soul, and with all our mind. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. You might go through times and seasons where the tempter comes to us and he throws a fiery dart at us and says, look, see, they're doing so much better. Here you are trying to do the righteous thing, trying to do the good thing, and it's not getting you anywhere. And he rubs that in our face a little bit. He tries to do that. Amen. But we know that the enemy isn't going to win. The Lord will help us. It says in verse 40, he will deliver us from the wicked. Why? Because we trust in him. Though God slay me, yet I will trust him. I will maintain my ways before him. Let happen whatever's going to happen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to keep serving God. I don't No matter how hard it gets, I'm going to keep serving the Lord because I know that he is faithful to me and he will deliver me. To be righteous. If you're going to be righteous, what is it to be righteous? That means you're committed to following God. You're doing what it is that God wants you to do. You're following his commands the best way that you can. And we can do that pretty good right now in this dispensation that we're living in because we have that Holy Ghost, we have that Holy Spirit within us that's going to bring all things back to our remembrance. Amen. And we're going to know how we should live. But then that has a catchphrase in there. He can't bring something back to our remembrance that we don't know about. Amen. And so if we're in this communication with God and in this relationship with Jesus, we're going to spend time in the Word of God. We might not understand everything we read when we read it, but at the time that it's needed, that Holy Spirit's going to bring it back to our remembrance and we're going to remember. But the Bible says thus and so. God works that way. The righteous, they must be committed to following God. And to be committed is in verse 37 of that thing. It says, in Psalms 37, the main concept of this whole chapter here that we're looking at, the main concept of it is to trust in the Lord. Amen, to trust in the Lord. We have to be committed and we have to trust in our relationship to God. Lord, I'm committed to you, but I don't really trust you. I don't know if you're going to come through on this. I don't know if you can. You know, after all, I got myself into this situation. And, you know, that old analogy, the thing that said God helps those who help themselves. Where did that come from? Huh? God will help us in our relationship with him. Amen. We need that with God. We trust God to act on our behalf as we daily seek him. As you're daily seeking the Lord, are you expecting God to come through on your behalf? Are you expecting God to answer your prayers? Are you expecting God to give you the desires of your hearts? Or are you just like, well, if it's meant to be, it'll be. I don't play any part in this game, if you want to call it that. If God wants to bless me, he'll bless me. He sits one up, he puts one down, and I guess God just doesn't love me as much. He helps that brother or sister much more than he me. We need to pray with an expectation, amen, with that trust in God, that God, you're going to come through. In verse 5 of chapter 37 that I read to you, it says we commit our way unto the Lord, but we should do that in everything that we do, committing it unto God. Oh, we in this country, we fall short of that. When we lived in the Dominican Republic, they're very mindful of God in everything they do. They don't get in a car and start down the road, and it's not just because they drive crazy down there, but they believe in the power of prayer. They're praying for God's protection and God's blessings on their travels for that day in everything that we do. When's the last time when you got in a car and you said, Lord, give me protection today, help me today? We honor this. We honor God in everything that we do. We're committing our ways unto And we can say it this way, God, this is what I have planned for today, but I'm committing this unto you. Because you might have a different plan. You might have a detour for today. You might have somebody that you want me to talk to today. Sometimes we can get so task-oriented that we're missing opportunities to witness for Jesus because we're in a hurry. We're in the store. We're out of the store. We buy the gas. We leave the gas. We just go, hurry, rush, here and there. We have a schedule to keep. We need to commit our ways unto the Lord. Amen. So we need to commit and to trust. When we trust God, we have confidence that when we follow Him, we will be satisfied. And that's verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The Lord knows who the righteous are. Amen. When we trust in God, we have confidence and we follow Him that we're going to be satisfied. I'm going to read it again. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. God knows who's upright before Him. The Lord knows who the righteous ones are. Are you a righteous one in God's eyes? I'm not talking about self-righteous. And if you're righteous in God's eyes, what makes you righteous in God's eyes? I believe what makes us righteous in God's eyes is seeking Him with our whole body, soul, and spirit. We're just pouring our all into it. Amen. And that's showing God that we are righteous before Him. And so if we're going to trust God, we have to believe His promises before seeing them happen. Well, I seen it happen. Now I believe. I believe God can do it because I seen Him do it. But if we're going to be righteous before God, if we're going to trust God, we believe His promises before seeing them happen. We believe that our loved ones are going to be saved. We believe that that healing is coming. We believe that salvation is coming. We believe that deliverance is coming for an individual. We're looking at what God can do, and we know that God is going to do it. We have that trust. And so in Psalms 37, David, in this whole chapter here, you can read it when you get home, I think it only has the 40 verses. He, in this whole psalm, what he is doing is he is encouraging others to trust God. He's saying we must trust in God. There's no other way. Amen. We could sing that song. There's no other way but to trust and obey. Amen. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And that's what David is telling him in Psalms 37. His promises, the promises of God, and here's where we have difficulty. They're not always immediate. Your family's going to be saved. Your household is going to be saved. I would like to see it right now today. I'd like to see all the family members in my home saved. My children, my in-laws, my outlaws, extended family, but it doesn't happen immediately. And we struggle with that when we don't see things to begin to happen immediately. And at times, whenever we're seeking God for something to satisfy our flesh, brings a quicker result. I can go satisfy my flesh. I can do it this way. You know, instead of seeking God's counsel, I can satisfy the flesh and I can go get advice from somebody else and they can tell me what I should do. It's quicker to satisfy yourself that way. Amen. We purpose. Amen. And what do? We purpose to not lift up evildoers' ways. The way that they do it, we're not going to do it that way. That's how the world does it, but I'm going to trust in the Lord my God. When I have a need, I'm going to trust in the Lord my God. Amen. When there's a situation, I'm going to trust in the Lord my God. I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm serving Him with my whole body, soul, and spirit. And so waiting on God is not always easy. But verse 7 of this chapter says, rest in the Lord. Amen. Rest in the Lord. Just rest in Him. He's got this, yeah, but it's prayer. Pressing, and it's making havoc in the family, and the situation isn't good, and we need to see something here and now. We need to learn to just rest in the Lord. God, I'm going to lay back in Your love. I'm just going to rest in You. I'm committing this on to You. God, You're going to handle this situation. Amen. You're going to handle this situation. Amen. We don't get. I don't want a momentary success. Amen. I want an eternal success. An eternal success. God loves, amen, and God's love and blessings, they're eternal for us. It's eternal what God is doing. And so, some practical ways that we can commit ourselves unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, we're not going to go there, but practical ways that we're serving God with our whole body, soul, and spirit, and our mind. We're giving Him our all, and that is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We commune daily with Him. We pray every day. It's a constant activities. God's in good times and in bad times, we're praying to God. When we're happy, we're praying. When we're sad, we're praying. When we have victory, we're praying. When we're in discouragement, we're praying. We don't stop praying. We commune with Him daily. We pray every day. It's a constant activity. God, I know I brought this to you yesterday, but I'm bringing it again. There's teachings out there. If you take anything to the Lord more than once in prayer, that means you prayed in doubt the first time. Where's that written in the scripture? Amen. God wants us to come daily. Your children come and ask you of something, and you don't give them the answer that they want to hear. They make a petition to you, and they come back again. It doesn't mean they're doubting. They're just reminding you, hey, I want this. I need this. And I think it's good that we can continually be in prayer. Keep going back to God. I need to see. You see the desperate situation that I'm in. You see the desperate situation this person is in. God, we need a godly intervention in this. We need to see it happen. And that is a way that we can constantly, amen, be in touch with God. Something else that we need to do, Psalms 119:11. We need to study the Word of God. How's the Lord going to bring things back to your remembrance if you don't study the Word of God? You need to be familiar with God's Word and see how you can apply it to your own life. That's where we fall into trouble sometimes. We never apply it to our own life. We can always apply it to somebody else in their situation, but when it's our situation, what does the Word of God say? We need to be familiar with God's Word. Learn to apply God's Word to your life. That's serving God with your whole body, soul, and spirit and mind. We need to know. We need to understand what God wants. Amen. What God wants. We need to know and understand what pleases God, what displeases God in our life. The more that you read the Word, amen, the more that you know the Word of God, the more that you learn the Word of God, amen, the less likely that you are to fall in sin. Amen. The psalmist says, Thy Word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Because I'm hiding that Word in there. I'm getting that Word in there. I'm listening to that Word. I'm reading that Word. I'm thinking on the Word. I love talk to people and to get into conversations. I know I've shared this thought before, but when you're talking to somebody and you're debating, not arguing, there's a difference between arguing and debating. Amen. You're debating something with them, and when somebody can come to you and they can say as you're talking, but the Bible says, and they're able to quote a scripture that's appropriate for the situation, you know what that does to you? It's like, yep, you're right. That's the end of that discussion. That settles it right there. But if you don't study the Word of God, if you're not familiar with the Word of God, if you don't know how to apply it to your life, how are you going to be able to use it as a defense? And so the more, David said, the more that we learn the Word of God, the less likely we are to sin. The more that you know the Word of God. And then the third thing is, the more we know the Word of God, the more we can explain it to others. You can explain it to others. I can't tell anybody about Jesus because I don't know. Why don't you know? Why don't you get into the Word of God? Amen. And to sharpen other people. And that's Proverbs 27:17 is the one iron sharpens iron. And so to sharpen other people is to remind them of God's Word. It's to encourage them. When somebody talks to you in a discouraging way, in a nice way, you can remind them what the Bible says about a similar situation that they're facing. Iron sharpens iron. And so God should get most of our time and attention. If we would all do that, amen, it would bring glory to God. I'm going to read one more scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And we're talking here this morning about that first and great commandment. That's the most important thing, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so God should get most of our attention. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever you're doing it to the glory of God. You're going to eat, you're going to drink, whatever you do, it says do all according to the Word of God. And so what we have to understand is that everything we do brings glory to God. Whether we're eating, drinking, all of the activities and things that you're doing should be bringing glory to God. And then what we have to do is commit to Him And then it will become natural for us. We're bringing glory to God. We're just bringing glory to God. And all that we say and do, we're bringing glory to God. Lift Jesus higher. You go around lifting him higher. Amen. You're committing your ways unto him in all that you do. And that first and great commandment, I'm going to finish that this morning in Matthew 22, where we started this morning. Matthew 22, this is the first. What is it that I should do in life? I don't know what I should do. Man, the way that I'm in, I'm just not sure. Well, this is the thing that you should do. We read it this morning. Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first and great commandment. Are you doing that today? Are you doing that today? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen. And God is there on your defense. God is there on your behalf. He'll go to bat for you. Nobody's going to push you around. Amen. You're going to be able to put the enemy underfoot when you put God first in your life. Many times we don't put God first in our life, and we know that he's a great, big, wonderful God, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, we can quote the scripture. We can go after the devil with those, but yet we didn't do the first thing. We don't have that relationship hit with him like he desires to have with us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Let's just sing this chorus. It's a little bit fast, but it's okay. Amen. Let's sing this chorus. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. And what is your zeal and passion in life? It needs to be God. We can all make adjustments. I can make adjustments so that I have more of a zeal and a passion for God. I want God more than anything else I want in my life. I have to purpose in my heart that I'm going to serve God today, that I'm going to put him first today, that I'm going to share this good news with somebody today, and I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit. That's what God desires from us before anything else. Amen.